RunDNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to RunDNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. Good evening, everyone. Hello, Soph. How are you? I saw you were up to your armpits in a Varden at Royal Adelaide Golf Club yesterday.
Hey, Hoogie. Hey, Wallace. Yeah, I certainly was. I was playing in the Varden at my home club, Royal Adelaide. I was playing with my fellow teammate, Reagan Denton, who finished second with one under, and Millie Winnie from the Grange Golf Club, who had an outstanding two under. And do you know what, Hookie? It was really good to watch, and my game did not look at all like theirs, if I'm being completely honest.
Congratulations to Millie Winnie, and well played, Reagan Denton, who we're very, very excited about the way her career is heading. However, we really only want to know about Sophie Hilditch's form, please. How did you travel?
I shot an outstanding 9 over. It was actually, Hookie, it was unusual for me. I'm pretty much known for my putting and my chipping, but I 3-putted and 4-putted my way around my local greens, which is never a good sign, if I'm being completely honest. It was horrendous. And you know it's bad when both your playing partners tell you you had bad luck, and I think it's not bad luck if you just keep missing them.
Yeah. You know what I love is when someone says good weight on a putt, that always means it's a really bad line. That's generally my experience of putting. I played there today. Gee, it was spicy. It's they've got it incredibly firm for the fact that we've had so much weather. So would have been an incredible experience. Guys, can I just make an apology right off the top? We were supposed to record this episode about 47 minutes ago now, and here I am just finally getting online. I have to let you know that I've been at the Goodwood Saints Football Club for the presentation of the Gina Dutschke Medal. Goodwood Saints youngster Jessica Shire won it. It's a great story, wonderful family sports story that we just eat up here on Hooked on Sport. Her dad, Darren, played for the same football club. Her uncle, Stephen, played for the same football club. She's had a couple of years at West Adelaide and went back to her home club. Her little brother, Harry, plays for Goodwood Saints as well. Her mum is the team manager. And she has won the Gina Dutschke Medal, which is for the best and fairest player in the Division One competition. The club celebrated like it was a premiership night at the footy club tonight. It was quite incredible. So I have to concede that I did spend a couple of extra minutes there. It's a footy club that I used to play for a long, long time ago. So, yeah, congratulations to Jessica Shire, Mum Sue, Dad Darren, and everyone there at the football club. Just so excited. So, it was a really special couple of moments. Congratulations to Jess, who a midfielder, can play key defender as well. So, she'll forever be a Dutschke medalist as a 20-year-old.
Well, I don't like tardiness, Hookie, but you know what? For being 15 minutes late, I think that's a good one to be celebrating.
It was 50 minutes late. Hey, we're talking about your golf, Sophie, but you've got a great hockey background. There's a cool little story from the Adelaide Hockey Club that you want to share with us.
Yeah, Charlie Chappell, which is the grandson of cricketing great Ian Chappell and great nephew of Greg Chappell, made his debut for the Adelaide Hockey Club in the Premier League. Now, you know I'm a Burnside girl, so I don't think I really swing by the Adelaide team, but I will admit my brother actually plays for the Adelaide Hockey Club as well, and that was great to see. A massive achievement for the teenager. He was playing in their finals, and like you've spoken about, their finals are a bit hard to explain, so I recommend our listeners go over to that Hockey SA website. But wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on that wall watching Greg and Ian? What were they talking about, Hookie? I mean, were they discussing the upcoming Ashes? Were they discussing the age of our current Australian team? Or were they just enjoying their grandson and great nephew watching him play hockey?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I reckon Ian would have been complaining about the umpires and how ridiculous the rules of hockey are, and Greg would have been trying to calm him down, because that's been the story of those two for pretty much all of their lives. So good that you could share this story with us. As someone whose granddad himself, an absolute legend of Australian sport. So quite cool, isn't it, when the name bobs up a second time, a couple of generations down. Of course, your surname is Hilditch, but you're the granddaughter of Bobby Simpson, a legend of Australian cricket. It's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite cool. It's quite cool to see the sport getting passed down in the families and how special it is to the family, I think. Incredible story, and I can't wait to see what Charlie does next.
You would have loved to have had Bobby watching your golf from time to time. I imagine he got to see you play occasionally.
Yeah. Definitely did. We've had a lot of special occasions on the golf course, actually, Hookie. He's a pretty harsh critique. I still remember him throwing about 10 balls when I do something wrong and asking me to explain what had happened. He actually refused to let other family members out. That was just Sophie and Popper time. So I've got some really special memories on the golf course with him.
We do need to talk some golf. We need to talk South Australian golf shortly. Just before we do, just want to share with you and our listeners that the Australian six-a-side lacrosse team, so this is the Olympic format of lacrosse that's going to Los Angeles in 2028. The Australian team has been part of the World Games in China. They took on Japan in the bronze medal match this afternoon, and they won in overtime 13-12. It's tremendously exciting. So you start to think that this group is heading towards potentially the Olympic Games as a real genuine medal hope. We've got four South Australians in this team. Two of them are currently overseas playing in the United States. That's Hannah Nielsen and Abby Thorne. The other two, absolutely genuine dinky die locals, Addie Cunningham, the goalkeeper from the Brighton Lacrosse Club, and Olivia Parker, who, a friend of this show, she's been on this program in the past, from the Woodville Lacrosse Club, part of that team as well. So they will be returning home overnight with bronze medals from the World Games, which I'm just so pleased for them. It's really exciting. Four genuine superstar South Australians who could be Olympic medalists in 2 years' time. How cool is that?
Oh, just absolutely incredible. And they all had outstanding games as well. Like Hannah Nielsen was just on fire, wasn't she?
Well, she's a veteran. I mean, she's in her late 30s, I think. She's been to 5 World Cups, Hannah Nielsen, and incredibly fit. She doesn't really play much anymore because there's no formal structured professional system over there in the US. It's college or you go on and coach. So she plays a little bit. They do have a shortened league for professionals. But, yeah, the fact that she can still step up and match it with these young kids who are often 20 years younger than her, it's pretty incredible. Yeah, and Georgia Latch, the star of that game, she scored the final goal. But Olivia Parker is just one to watch. She's just such a wonderful young human being who I think might end up captaining that team when they go to LA in a couple of years. So very pleased for all of them. Hey, Soph, I've got to ask your thoughts. It's been the breaking story of the afternoon that Grange Golf Club and LIV Golf seem to be, have pretty much washed their hands of each other, that they're going to go through 2026, but they are not going to be able to come to terms on what they expect of each other for 2027. It's a bit of a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Where do you think LIV Golf could end up in Adelaide in 2027 if it's not at Grange? Because I don't know if there's genuinely a viable venue.
Yeah, I don't know, Hookie. I mean, we have to have a big enough venue for all those stands, and Grange is kind of perfect with the 36 holes. They can close down part of the course and accommodate for all the spectators that they get. But, I mean, Hookie, I don't really blame the members, if I'm being completely honest. It's a massive ask. Their course has to be closed down for months. There's a lot of growing to do after they've had that spectatorship there. I mean, I don't think LIV Golf really came to the table, if I'm being completely honest to you, and it would have been hard to pass that member vote. But, I mean, it's a shame. Can South Australia hold on to LIV Golf if we don't host it at Grange in 2027?
Well, it's contracted right through to 2031, but it's going to be incumbent upon the South Australian government now to find an alternative venue if they can't come to terms with Grange. And yeah, I do think that the South Australian government has written a couple of checks that they probably couldn't cash, because they're really isn't an obvious alternative place. We have 3 other tier one courses. They are Cooyonga, Glenelg, and Royal Adelaide. Cooyonga's expected to host the 2026 Women's Australian Open. I wouldn't be surprised if Royal Adelaide hosts that in 2027. You cannot expect a club to host two major events back to back within a month of each other. I think that's unreasonable. Cooyonga may be an option, but it really isn't a course that is suitable for the men's professional game anymore. And Glenelg has had a redevelopment. They might be interested, but the scale of that course is such that it's going to be very, very difficult to get anything like the crowds, the galleries that they would hope to have, and certainly what they've had at the Grange. It might be half capacity to what the Grange could potentially host. And you're going to have to shut down the entire course for probably 8 to 10 weeks in the lead up. And that is a huge imposition on members, more so than what happens at Grange, as you said, Soph, where there's 36 holes. So, yeah, that is a conundrum that I don't think the government quite saw coming, and they should have. And now they are very much wedged. They may have to go back to the Grange Golf Club with a fairly sizable check, and that's going to be unpalatable to send a lot of cash to an organisation to benefit the members who are already paying, you know, who are already wealthy enough to pay $5,500-$6,000 a year to play golf. So, yeah, it's an awkward situation for everyone. And I have to say, the government should have seen this coming, and they've been hopelessly myopic with a lot of these sorts of situations. So it's going to be fascinating to watch it play out.
Yeah, I completely agree, Hookie. I remember when these promises first started coming out, and I think every single golfer in SA actually was thinking, how can the government be making these promises? Grange is there and their members are there, and I don't know if it's going to work out. So I'm not surprised at all, but it is a shame, and it will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
It all extends right through to the redevelopment of the North Adelaide Golf Club, Soph. And I've probably made this point before when I've been talking to Wallace on this podcast, but I mean, the Premier has said that he wants to be able to charge $500 for interstate guests to come and play on this course. I mean, you can go and play Royal Adelaide, which is going to be a vastly superior course for infinitely less amount of money than that. I think the absolute top fee to play Royal Adelaide right now is $400. And you want to play $500 for a course that I think, as Mike Clayton once said about Augusta National to Royal Melbourne members, it's a long way to go and a lot of money to spend for worse golf. And that's the problem that they're going to have at North Adelaide. They want to charge $60 for South Australians and $500 for interstaters. I tell you, if that's your market, if that's what you're thinking, you're going to get very, very few interstaters who are going to play North Adelaide. They're all heading to the Tier 1 courses on the Western Sandbelt.
Yeah, excellent point there, Hookie.
We've run through the finishing tape on another episode of Hooked on Sport. We appreciate you following us and leaving a review. This helps us reach more sports-minded people just like you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now, I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.